Savior will gladly testify how God's word brought conviction the hour they met Christ. It may have been a still small voice, but they heard the Master's call. Learning in that moment when they surrendered all. God's word changes lives. Its power cannot be denied. The lost find salvation. Message, the truth has never changed. God so loved, He gave His Son that sinners could be saved. And whether read or preached or sung, once it has been heard, the authority of Scripture will leave no heart unstirred.
Thank you, Sister Clark. It changes not. The gospel's still the power of God unto salvation, and that's what Brother Chitty is doing out there in the middle of the desert, winning souls and faithful to it. Sure got a lot of respect for what the Lord has used him to do. Come on, Brother Chitty. God bless you.
Thank you, Bridget.
Man. Wow. Have you noticed all the music tonight has just been all, I mean, just tied in together? Well, that was good. Brother Cox. Brother, that'd make an Arab hug a Jew. I'm telling you. That'd make you run around the block to kiss your mother-in-law right in the mouth. I said that one night. Seriously now, I mean, we have a good-sized church. We're packed out, nothing but Indians. And I made that statement. There was a boy, a young man in my church, who was having a hard time with his mother-in-law. And I said, boy, that'd make you run around the block to kiss your mother-in-law right in the mouth. He said, well, kiss mine for me then. Amen. But that was good, wasn't it?
Amen.
Man. Woo. When you come to church service like you've already been in tonight, and you don't enjoy yourself, you might as well go back home and turn TV on. But that's good. I like that. It's going to be the last opportunity I probably get to thank the whole church. Thanks for letting me be here. Brother Barry and Dr. Carter know how to make a nobody feel like a somebody. They've treated you good. Ladies, I don't know who's doing all the cooking. Whew. Man, I knew when I got here last night that God was going to be in this service because he had Sonny's barbecue. I know God's in that. And buddy, we ate and got up this morning and ate. They fixed us over at the fellowship hall at a lunch, and then tonight again. I want everybody in this room to know I am a full gospel preacher. Amen. I just want you to know, amen, the way it goes. Find Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45 in your Bible, if you would, please. I'm not going to lie to you. I've pastored the same church now for 42 years. Started it from nothing. God has blessed, as you may have seen in the video just now, if you paid attention. We have gone 27 years. In the last 27 years, we've not had a week go by when we didn't see somebody saved. We've not had a week go by in 27 years where we didn't have a visitor in church. God, I'm telling you, God's been good. Amen. But even with all that I've been preaching since 1971, and the truth of the matter is, I was a little nervous about coming down here. Yeah, you're going to Dr. Mickey Carter's pulpit. You're laughing. You're at home. I'm not. I'm telling you, I was nervous. And then I began to realize all the different preachers that's come through this pulpit. And what you got to hear Sunday and then last night and then what you got to hear this morning. Woo! And I thought, what in God's dear name is somebody like me going to say? Now, everybody, let me stop and say this to you. There's nothing new under the sun. I used to be scared to death I was going to preach somebody else's sermon. They preached it. They preached somebody else's sermon. Listen to me. If it's true, it ain't new. And if it's new, it ain't true. But I begin to think, what in the world is a nobody like me from the backside of the desert in the Indian reservation going to come to a great ministry like this and preach that they have not already heard? And I came with the answer. There ain't nothing you hadn't already heard. But I began to think, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, just maybe I could give it in a different way than you've heard before. They was a very, very wealthy man. I mean, very wealthy. He had maids. He had butlers. He had servants. Lived in a mansion. But he always wanted to go to London, England, and never got to go. He was getting ready to go, got everything worked out to go. And he went on this trip. Now, this man was weird. And this is why I know he was weird. He had a cat that he loved. For a man to love a cat is like a man loving to go to Walmart. That's an oxymoron. That ain't no way that could be. But he goes on this trip and he calls back home and the butler answered the phone. He loved that cat so much, the only reason he called was to check on the cat. And when the butler answered the phone, he said, "Hey, man," he said, "how's the cat?" He said, "Oh, sir, the cat died." Oh, he went to pieces like a little kid. Hung the phone up, laid across the bed in the hotel, cried a while. He called back and said, "Man, couldn't you have said that in a different way? I could have called it, how's the cat? And you'd say, the cat's on the roof and we're trying to get it down. Could you have not said it a different way? Couldn't you have done that?" He said, "Well, yes, sir, I guess I could have." And I had a call back in a little while, and I said, "Man, how's the cat?" And you said, "Well, sir, it jumped from the roof over into a tree, and we called the fire department to come get it out of the tree." Now, could you have not said it in a different way like that? He said, "Yes, sir, I could have." He said, "Okay." He said, "Then I had a call a little while later and said, how's the deal with the cat?" And you said, "The cat got hurt when the fireman got it out of the tree, and we had to take it to the vet." Oh, and I could have called back later and said, "How's the cat?" And then you could have said, "Sir, the cat didn't make it." You see, it's all in how you say something, he said. Could not you have said that a different way? And he said, yes, sir. And he said, okay. He said, how's mama? He said, she's on the roof and we're trying to get her down. Amen. So whatever's on the roof tonight, I'm going to try to get it down. All right? Amen. Well, glory. God's good, isn't it? I was born in the state of Florida. And that's not Florida. It's Florida, bless God. And grew up without a mama. My mama had left me when I was a little bitty boy. And I remember being a little boy, and I'd go to friends' homes, and mother would make them some kind of little sandwich after school or something, and I'd just sit there in envy. I'd watch them eat a birthday cake. My wife made me the first birthday cake I ever ate. I never had that growing up. I never had someone give me a hug and say, hey, I love you. I never had that growing up. As a little boy, I'd sit around and have my pity parties, and it felt to me like I was hated. I felt as if my mother had hid her face from me. Didn't see her. I go into the USMC. Everybody know what that stands for? What does it stand for? Good night, no. Where are you from? USMC, Uncle Sam's Misguided Children. All right. And we were in Vietnam, and Vietnam has a great policy. I mean, the Marine Corps, while you're there, has one of the best policies they have in the whole world. If you get wounded and you go to a MASH unit and they take the shrapnel or the bullets out of you, while you're healing, you only have to be on what they call light duty, which means you go out on a listening post with one other man, and you're listening for the enemy to come in, so you're the first one killed because you're already wounded. Now, I remember one night, me and a fellow was out there, and boy, the enemy kept getting closer, kept dropping rockets and everything else, and I thought, God, not have mercy. I would call to get permission to come back, and nobody would answer. I'm seriously, we'd have the radio, and this fellow said, give me that, and he began to call. Nobody would answer. Because they had already retreated. Now, you folks, you listen to me carefully. Are you ready? You ready for this? Marines never retreat. But they sure fight to the rear like the devil. I'm telling you right now. And they had gone off and left us. And I'm telling you, you get a feeling that comes over you. You're out there. I mean, it's you and the enemy. And nothing but a lot of ground behind you. You got to get the safety on. And I felt that same feeling that I had about my mother. All my fellow Marines had hid their face from us. They were gone. Most of you know my life story, but I was wounded 10 times in Vietnam, put in a body bag for dead once. I know you don't believe this because you always thought I was a vagrant and I'm really a veteran, but... I had like 12 medals, 10 Purple Hearts. I mean, just a boatload of medals. I found out I could take all of my medals and $2 and go to McDonald's and get a cup of coffee. Yeah, it's true. But I came back in a stretcher. How many of you guys were in the Air Force? Raise your hand. Chair Force, bless God. Ain't no have. How many were in the Navy? You're going to hell. Marine Corps don't have any medics. They have they use Navy corpsmen. And when you first get to boot camp, they like to stand and make you stand a long line. They stand in beside and shoot those shots with those guns into your arms. Yeah, you're going to hell. I'm telling you right now. How many of you were in the Army? Ain't ready Marines yet. Okay, I got you. I got you. I got you. Any of you in the Marine Corps? Hoorah! Yeah. Hoo! Amen. I came back from Vietnam with all those medals, and I didn't have a ticky-tack parade. You see, I came back in a stretcher. And when the C-130, you Air Force people, ooh, all that is a flying tin can. Nope. I was in first class because I had a bed. It was called a stretcher. No windows. And when it landed, there was a white bus with a big red cross on it, and it had no seats in it, just stretcher hangers. And they took me off that stretcher, off that plane, took me down the ramp, and put me on the stretcher of that bus. And my hero's welcome was this. They threw a 6-inch rock and broke the glass in my face and burnt the American flag. You would walk through an airport and women would kick you and spit on you, and some coward man in the distance would cuss you.
Yeah, come on.
We were even told you can't even be out in public in the 60s with your uniform on, because someone will try to kill you. And knowing you, idiot, you're going to fight back. If they try to kill you, you're going to wind up killing somebody. And that's just how we got treated when we came back. Now watch me carefully. I had that same feeling coming over me. Now I felt that my own country had hid their face from me. Every movie, every book, every newspaper, the news at 6 o'clock at night was anti-veterans who had gone to Vietnam. Now let me make five of you so mad you won't be able to see straight. The cowards went to Canada. The patriots went to Vietnam. And when we brought the patriots back, we spit on them. And when we brought the cowards back out of Canada, the President of the United States made a hero out of them. And Muhammad Ali's a coward.
Go ahead, preacher.
Yes, sir.
And I had felt, I literally felt that my country had hid their face from me. I went to the Navajo Nation. And I preached Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and Thursday soul winning and Saturday bus calls as if I was running 1,000 people. And for 3.5 years, I preached to my wife and two boys. Not one human came to church for 3.5 years. I felt, good night. Nothing's going to work out in my life. Everybody has just hid their face from me. God has hid his face from me. It's not going to work. You're in Isaiah 45. If you are, raise your hand. Look in verse 15 with me. And I want to give you something tonight. You can criticize me later. But look at, if you would, verse 15. The Bible says this, "Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." Boys and girls, look at me just a minute. God will hide his face from us. No. Don't look at me like that. You believe the book? And I'd hate to think I came to this church and didn't believe the book. Well, I'm going to read it to you again just for you doubters. "Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." Now, let me tell you, Waterflow, New Mexico, what that verse means. Ready? God, you're my Savior, and yet you hide your face from me. Are you listening? You won't believe this, and he may get mad at me when I see him again. I worked for him for many years, Dr. Lee Robertson. But he made a mistake. Not thinking and not getting everybody involved, he planned 3-week meetings one time in the early 70s, 70, 71. He had a missions conference, a revival, and a Bible conference back to back to back because he had booked it and didn't realize he had done it. And Dr. Robertson, once he invited a preacher, he didn't call you and say, "Oh, forget it." He had you. Now, at that time, I had a wife and two little boys. And my youngest one was only 2 years old. And we went in the morning time, in the afternoon, at night, three straight weeks to church. Is everybody listening? Did you know they used to have revivals a month long, and then they changed it to 2 weeks, and then they changed it to 1 week, and now they change it from Sunday through Wednesday, and now we're having revival Sundays. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm serious. I'm not, you know, and hey, it's your church. You do what you want to do. But we had church every morning, every afternoon, every night for three straight weeks. Yeah. My wife got the boys ready. We got to go get in the car, and my little two-year-old said, I don't want to go to church. He was the only one in the family that was honest. And I said, well, if you don't want to go, I'm just trying to teach him a lesson to you because I'm such a great example. I said, well, boy, ain't nobody living in my house that ain't going to church. Get out of my house. He went outside. The four-year-old and my wife and I got in the car. And she said, you're not leaving him. I said, hush. I told him, later, dude. Backed the car off, went down the highway. When he got out of sight, I took around, went around behind the block. And there was a bush at the stop sign. We just parked there behind that bush. We knew he was going to be crying for daddy and crying out for his mama. And we pulled around and looked, and he was just playing, having a good time. He had had enough church. I got angry. I pulled over there and grabbed him, threw him in the back seat, and said, get in the car, boy. Now watch this carefully. Because I had a man. By the way, when I preach something, I'm using the Bible. I'm using the book. Don't come to me after church and cry to me about nothing. That's why I brought Chad Stanley along. He's the complaint department. Go see him. Leave me alone. But I've had somebody say that's a contradiction in the Bible because God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah. Now watch this carefully. When I left my son, did I leave him and forsake him? You know what I did? I hid my face from him. Right. Stay with me now. I'll make a point here that'll help you folks if you'll listen to me. I went around that block, come back around, and I literally hid my face from my own son. He was still my son. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
He wasn't not my son any longer because I hid my face. He was still my son. You understand that? Everybody understand that? Yeah. I had hid my face from him, but I didn't forsake him. Right. And I didn't leave him. Right. When God hides his face from us, it's not a contradiction in Scripture. By the way, there is no contradiction in Scripture. Amen. The contradiction is in man, not in God. So he's saying here, and I'm settled on to get this straight. He's saying, Lord, you're my Savior. You're the one that died for me. You're the one that forgave me of my sin. You're the one that kept me from burning in the devil's hell. And yet, you hide your face from me. You see that? Well, let me get you looking another place. Job 13. You know what? Let me just go through them real fast. You can write it down. You can read Bible study. I'm not going to do your Bible reading for you. Most of you come to church on Sunday and let the pastor do your Bible reading for you. In Job 13, 24, the Bible says something along these lines. And listen to me carefully. He's saying, Lord, you hide yourself from me, but yet you protect me from the enemy. Lord, you hide yourself from me, and yet you protect me from Satan. Yeah. Lord, you're my Savior, and you hide yourself from me. And Lord, when you hide yourself from me, yet you protect me from the enemy. Amen. You protect me from Satan, even though you hide yourself from me. You know why? Because he don't leave you nor forsake you. And then in Psalm 104, verse 29, I see some of you taking notes. And Psalm, you know what? You know why you're taking notes? You don't know more than God. So those who don't take notes know more than God. You know why you should take notes? Because you're not as smart as you think you are. You'll say, boy, that's good. you won't be out of here an hour and you can't remember it. You college kids, you learn to have a notepad and a pen. Amen?
Yeah.
I thought a thought. But I did not think the thought I thought a thought. So the next time I think a thought, I'll put it down with pen and ink so I know what to think. Amen. But we get on down, and he said, Lord, in Psalm 104, verse 29, he said, Lord, you hide your face from me. And Lord, when you hide, some people die. Not everyone that dies is because they were a wicked sinner.
Right.
Are you listening? I stood in Gainesville, Florida, and watched my daddy die. Lotchaway General Hospital, Gainesville, Florida. And I watched my daddy coughing up his lungs with lung cancer, choking on his own lungs. And I said, Dear God, if it's not against your will, I wish you'd heal my daddy and raise him up. And I said, but if not, I'm still going to love you and serve you. Not everyone, and please listen to me tonight. And I know this is not a shouting type sermon to get everybody excited, but yeah, I'm trying to help you with something tonight. And I'll get to it, I promise you. Not everyone that dies is because they were a horrible sinner. I got a funeral sermon I preach on why do Christians die? And it's good. When you are by somebody that's got cancer or dying of heart disease or any other reason, or a little baby. My first child was born dead. My son had two kids that way. It's not always that way, but I'm trying to help you with something. You ladies would not go to Dillard's at the mall and buy a dress and a new pair of shoes, a new purse. Don't forget that when she tells you that, okay? She got to have all of it. You can't just buy one of them and say Merry Christmas. Dress, shoes, purse to match. You got me? Don't ever forget that. You got me? But you would not go to the mall and go to Dillard's and buy a pair of shoes, a new purse to match, and a new dress and say, that's so lovely. I just leave it in the store and I'll come get it later. I've already paid for it. Just hold it for me. I'll come get it later. No, you wouldn't. By the way, real men drive pickup trucks. You would not go buy a brand new pickup truck. You fellas nod your little heads. It's okay. You would not go buy a brand new pickup truck and say, hey, I paid for it, right? Oh, yes, sir, it's yours. You can take it. Oh, no, 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 no. I paid for it, but I'm going to leave it here.
Yep.
No, you wouldn't. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How can you explain that? Because he bought it, and he wants to take it home. He paid for it. It's been, whoa, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I've been paid for. Amen. 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 And the guy that paid for it can take me home anytime he wants to.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Lord, when you hide your face, some people die. Hello? Are you with me so far? Lord, you hide your face from me, yet you're the Savior. Lord, you hide your face from me, and yet you protect me from Satan. Lord, you hide your face from me, and oh God, sometimes people die. Ready for this one? My favorite part. You're already in Isaiah. Turn back a few pages to chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. And if you don't like this one, you might as well go join a Mormon church. Isaiah chapter 8. Raise your hand when you get there. Amen. Got it? Now watch this carefully. In Isaiah chapter 8, skip all the way down to verse 17. Now watch. Oh, by the way, we are using the Bible, right?
Amen.
When he sang tonight, he was using the Bible. Boy, that, ooh. Mm. Verse 17 says, "And I will wait upon the Lord that what? Hideth his face from the house of Jacob." Watch this now. "And I will look for him." Does anybody listen to me? God, you hide your face, yet you're my Savior. God, you hide your face, and yet you protect me from Satan. Lord, you hide your face, and when you do, some people die. Lord, you hide your face, but I'm going to find you. If God wants to play hide and go seek, let him. But play the game with him. Hide and go seek with God. If he's hiding, go find him. Amen? I was talking to some little kids in our school. And our kids are FBI, full-blooded Indian. And you can ask them this question. You can ask the little ones. Now, I'm talking about if they're 6 years old or younger, you can say, "Hey, have you ever seen a real Indian?" And they'll go, "Mm-mm." And another one would speak up and say, I did. "Preacher, I did. I said, "Real Indian?" "Now, they're just as Indian as you can be." I'm talking about FBI. You got me? And I said, "Where'd you see one?" He said, "I saw one on John Wayne." Amen? And I pick on them unmercifully. I've got, y'all don't do this now because I'm wrong. But on Sunday night, I allow the little boys, if they wear a shirt and tie, to be the ushers at night instead of the men. Boy, you'll watch an Indian kid bubble up with pride. First button-up shirt he's ever owned and the first tie he's ever owned. And many times we have to get it for them. But if they'll wear it, they get to be the ushers. And they'll come. They'll be one and two and two and one in the way our church is set up. And they expect me to pick on them. I say, "You got a girlfriend?" One said, "Mm-mm." One told me before school started, as school started this year, he goes to a public school and he's only in the third grade, and the teacher called our church and asked if we would force him to quit passing out gospel tracts in a public school. I said, "Lady, you need to talk to somebody else because I'm about to have me a Marine Corps fit." But he came to me when school started. He said, "I'm engaged." I said, "Well, congratulations." Now, you got to remember, he's standing here as an usher in front of God and everybody. "I'm engaged." "Oh, you're the pastor. What are you going to do?" "Oh, you stupid idiot." I said, "You are?" He said, "Yep. Going to get married." 4 weeks later, ushers come forward. They know I'm going to pick on them, so they try to beat me to the punch. So he come, he's standing there, and he held his head down. I said, "What's the matter, bud?" He said, "She broke it off." And I'll say dumb things to him. I'll pick on him to death. I said, "Boy, you've been chasing women, and Ken is only this big. Stocky, but only that tall." I said, "Kid, boy, you've been chasing women?" He said, "Nope, already caught them." You folks have a good time at my church, I guarantee it. And I said, "Do you guys ever play hide and seek?" "Mm-hmm." Now, you got to remember, there ain't a tree to hide behind, there ain't a bush behind. You can hide behind a rock. I said, "Where do y'all play hide and go seek?" "In the house." "And I always win." "Oh, you do?" "Yep, I always win." "How come you always win?" "Because I know where they are hiding." my sister hides in the same place every time. She goes to her bedroom and she opens the closet door, and she's scared, so she don't always shut it back. She keeps it open. She's in there. I can go right to her open door. I know exactly where she is. My little brother hides behind a chair every time. And since I know where they are, I always win. And I thought about that for a few minutes. God is playing. Read the verse again. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. That's playing hide and go seek with God, if you look for him. Amen? But wait a minute. You ain't going to find him down at the bar. Let me make you Floridians mad. Ready? You ain't going to find him at the casino or the casino boat. Just thought I would tell you. Amen? You're not going to find him at the dog track. Right. What y'all call that? High life? What do y'all call that down here? There's some kind of gambling game. They throw a ball around. You ain't going to find him there. By the way, you won't find him at the beach in a bikini. If you want to win at hide and go seek, you got to know where they hide. You know what I found out? He's right where I left him. Is anybody listening to me? Where I'm supposed to meet him every morning, that certain chair I've got in a corner where I read my Bible and pray and talk with him and read it and let him talk to me. Shh, don't get my secrets away. He's always hiding there. You know where else I found out he is? When I'm out giving out gospel tracts. I can always find him there. I love the Lord, but I always know where he is. He don't play hide and go seek very well. Amen. You know where else I find him? Every time I go down to the church house. Amen. Whoo! You know where I can find him? On the bus route. I can find him in the Sunday school class.
That's right.
I can find him when the preacher's preaching. Yeah. Woo, glory to God. If he wants to play hide and go seek, let's play hide and go seek. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Glory. But let me give you something real fast, and we'll go eat some ice cream. Wait, I've been promised that for 2 days. Ain't got any yet. Brother Stanley the crook. Write these down because you're going to need this. In Psalm 10 and verse 1, the psalmist says, Lord, you hide yourself, but why? Are you listening to me? In Psalm 44, 24 and Psalm 88, 14, he said, you hide yourself, but why? Why? Why are you doing that? Now, well, look at me carefully now. Make sure you understand it. I'm fixing to let you go, so listen to me carefully. Let's take the mystery out of it. God will hide his face from us. It's in the book. It's in the book. But I don't think it's unjust and unfair to ask God why. Lord, you hide yourself, but why? Why God hides his face at times from us? Number one, ready? To see if you will do right anyway. God will hide his face from us just to see if we'll do right anyway. Did you guys catch that one? That's deep. I know for you college kids, that's real deep, but you did get it though, right? Okay. Just sometimes he hides his face from us just to see if we'll do right anyway. Everybody still with me? Now, I know this is deep theology and you're not getting it, but think about it. What if God came to you? I'm not talking about in some charismatic way or some hocus pocus way. Not, I got it way. I'm not talking about that. But what if God really came to you and said this to you? For one day, I'll totally hide my face and I'll never see what you do for one day. What would you do? I wonder if you'd still be against Calvinism. I wonder if you'd still read your Bible and pray. I wonder if you'd still be in church. I wonder if you'd get into sin. Because, boys and girls, he will hide his face from you just to see if you would do right anyway. Amen. Amen. Would you do something bad? Oh, by the way, would you quit? I mean, God's not going to hold it against you. He's not even going to know about it. He promised you he'd hide his face from you because, what are you going to, you going to quit? Or keep on keeping on? Amen. Why, Lord, do you hide your face? To see if we'll do right anyway. Number two, God, why do you hide your face? To show us just how much we really need him. To show us just how much we really need him. God has given me a love for what you would call a savage, gut-eating, dog-eating. Can I ask you a question? I don't know why this came to my mind, but I'm going to say it. Picture years ago, it's a John Wayne movie in your mind. Okay, you get that picture, right? The wagon trains are coming across. There's a wagon going across there. You've been forced to a reservation. You've watched your mother die of malnutrition. By the way, to this day, last year in 2016, 2,506 Navajo people died of malnutrition. Hello? But just suppose it's years and years ago and you watched your mama die of malnutrition. Your kids are hungry. Your wife is laying over here dying. And all of a sudden, there's a wagon going across with water, blankets, medicine, food on it. If you was a real man, what would you do? But we call them savages because they attacked the wagon. Just wonder what you would do. Just wonder what you would do. In our situation, and by the way, the Bible still says preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus loves almost all the children. Almost all the children of the world, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves almost all the little children of the world. Bless God, I bring in everything. You know why we got a few white people in our church? They got in our way out soul winning. It's not my fault. They shouldn't have been there. But we bring in, I'll give an example. We have two kids that are, somebody help me out, I'm not smart. What, when the mother drinks too much liquor? Alcohol syndrome. Who said that? I'll dance at your wedding. Hallelujah. And so your parents. And one little boy's name is Kyle. Now, Kyle loves dressing up like a cowboy. If you give him a cowboy hat and a pair of boots and a guitar, that's a happy little kid. Now, he's slower than everybody else in our school because he's got alcohol syndrome. But if you saw him, you'd fall in love with him. He should be like the fifth grade. He's doing third grade work. But when we first started, he's only doing first grade work. So he's really improving. A man gave us a Jeep. And I am not talking about run up down highway Jeep. I'm talking about one that you have to push it off a hill to get it to start, and then it smokes and boom, bangs. And it's a piece of junk. Res rocket. Here, who knows what a res rocket is? That's a vehicle that ain't worth having, but you can run it up down that reservation at 90 miles an hour. Res rocket. And he said, now this, when this guy got me this Jeep, I became a kid again. I like to cut donuts with it, throw dirt everywhere. And my wife even likes to ride in it when I do that. Oh, she'll scream. And little Kyle said, he can't say preacher. He said, preacher, take me in the Jeep. All right, Kyle, get in. And I wasn't thinking. He don't weigh 40 pounds. I turned that first donut, and he went, bing! I thought I'd killed him. He got him, dusted himself off, looked at me, said, let me drive. I said, you can't reach the gas. He said, let me sit in your lap. I put little Kyle in my lap. I put it in first gear. We popped a clutch, and there he goes, right toward the cliff. And he said, preacher. I said, no, sir. You wanted to drive. And I let that thing literally go. It was all a piece of junk anyway. I held on to him so it wouldn't throw him out of there. He said, preacher, you almost killed me. I said, I wasn't driving. You know what you're doing in your life? Now listen to me. This is most of us, not you, me, all of us. You know what you're doing in your life? You're saying, God, let me drive. Let me drive. When we lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, is Scotty Drake in here tonight? Are you still with us, brother? Oh, amen. We went up. We'd never been anywhere. Country bumpkins, you know, breast of like stove, wood, wish country, that kind of thing, you know. And we decided to go up and look at mountain. And I had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And my wife is holding the little one. And I would take the 2-year-old and over to the edge and take him by his wrist and dangle him over 2,000 feet down there. And my wife would, she didn't cuss, but if you'd have written it on a piece of paper, she'd have signed it. Oh, she was mad at me. And we'd walk around all day up there, and me and him would go out there, and she'd keep the little one over there. Don't you touch the little one, leave him alone, you're going to kill that one, good night. And we're walking along there, and I got him by the hand. And he said, Daddy, let me hold your hand. And I thought, I've got him by the hand. He must be retarded or kin to his mama. I am holding your hand. He said, no, Daddy, let me hold your hand. What's the difference between me holding his hand and him holding mine? Anybody know the difference? Because if he's holding mine, he can let go whenever he wants to and do what he wants to do. Yeah. You want to be close to God, but under your conditions. Lord, let me hold your hand. Not, God, take me by the hand. Oh, are you listening to me? Many, many times God will hide his face from us just to show us how much we really need him. Amen? Why does God hide his face from us? Number 3, and I would be remiss if I didn't tell you. Why does God hide his face? Because of our iniquity and our sin. And I think it was you that mentioned it. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me when I pray. Sometimes God hides his face simply because we're living in sin. Iniquity is any unconfessed sin. When you're living in sin, it's open sin. By the way, when's the last time you prayed, oh, Spirit of God, try me and see if there be any unclean way in me? Hello? God, you hide your face from me, yet you're my Savior. God, you hide your face from me, and yet you protect me from Satan. Lord, you hide your face from me, And when you do, some people die. Lord, you hide your face. Why? God, why? God, why? Just to see if we'll do right anyway. God, why do you hide your face? To show us just how much we really need Him. Why does God hide His face from us? Because of our iniquity and our sins. Lord, you hide your face, but I'm going to find you. Lord, you hide your face, but I'm going to look for you. You want to be hide and seek? I'm going to play it, but I'm pretty good at it. I know where you ain't going to be, but also got enough sense to know where you are. I'm going to cheat. If I really want to find him, I'll go to where he is, not to where I want to be. God wants to play hide and go seek. Yeah, you know us adults play hide and go seek with our kids till we get tired of it. But we never get tired of playing hide and go seek with our grandkids. But let me remind you tonight of one thing. God doesn't have any grandkids. You'll not go to heaven because your daddy's the pastor. You'll not go to heaven because mama saved. Ye must be born again. But even though you're saved, even though he's your savior, he'll hide his face from you. Preacher, what do I do when I just feel like God's far away? A man was driving the car, and his wife's sitting over there, mad. They drive through a field, and there's a bunch of donkeys out in the field. And the man looked at his wife and said, "Relatives of yours?" She said, "Yeah, my in-laws." She said, "Well, I used to sit over there right by you. We almost was under the steering wheel at the same time." He said, "Honey, the steering wheel didn't move." God will be as good to you as you'll let him be. Quit blaming God for your ignorance. Quit blaming God for your lack of character. "But he hid his face from me. I'm going to go get drunk." You ain't going to find him in the bar. Go to where he is. I'm going to tell you a secret. Please don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anybody this. Ready? Shh. Don't let it go outside of this building. You know where you can always find God every time? Wherever you left him. Wherever you left him. All to God to be the glory. Not a sermon to shout about. But you listen to me carefully. Now you know why sometimes it feels like he's just not there. Can I tell you why he's not there? Because he ain't there. He's hid his face. And sometimes it's just to see if you'll do right anyway. Sometimes it'll be just to show us how much we really need him. But here comes the danger part. Sometimes, because of us, our sins and our iniquities. Whatever God spoke to your heart about that, I have no clue what it is. Whatever God spoke to your heart about tonight, why don't you do business with God?
Let's stand with our heads bowed. The altar's open. You know, you might find God at the church altar. Could be here tonight and you feel like God's been hiding his face from you. What a message for us. What a message. If you feel that way, it's not something to take lightly. It's time to go looking for God. And as the preacher just said, the secret is you'll probably find him right where you left him. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, don't know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. God's not hard to find. He says, you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. If you really want to be saved, you come to God, he won't reject you. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. But after we're saved, all those things preacher preached about can happen. I'll ask for just a verse of invitation. This will be all. If God's asked you to do something, you do it as we sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
You know you're liable to find God right there in the spot where you do surrender all. Rid of that thing that may be standing between you and the blessings of God. I don't know about you, but my cup's full tonight. We've had a great service in the house of God. Thought when Brother Cox was preaching, that was about as high as it could get, but God used Brother Chitty to come on and just take us on up. You know, as a pastor, you know what hurts me in a service like this is so many people needed what we got tonight, but they weren't here to get it. You preachers know what I'm talking about. You ever sit up here and people are creatures of habit. They come in a church building and after a while they almost sit in the same place every week. That's okay. I said this one time years ago and had some folks try to trick me. They tried to change places the next week, but in a little while they were back in the same old spot. The good part is, I know I can check the roll easier because you're sitting in the same place. It's like the little boy said there, they always hide in the same place. And you know, I've sat up here and thought about somebody with a particular problem, looking for an answer. God gave it, and they were not here to get it. Isn't that sad? It's the truth. I believe God shelled out some stuff for us tonight. I'm glad I was here to get it. Amen. All right. My, what a blessing this has been. Now, preacher.